It is hour number two of Shirts and Skins with Chad and Trey at 1:45. Where are we at in society? Well, despite Bucky Godbolt's insistence on this show last week, throwing a loved one down and running are not the best things to do when encountering a grizzly bear, according to more experts. At 1:30, the NBA has a weird-looking Final Four as those conference finals get going. And in mere minutes, it's our weekly chat with the great Joe Cook of Inside Texas. I'm Trey Elling, and sitting across from me is Chad Hastings.
Wow. I guess I don't want to be with Bucky if the grizzly bear attacks.
I didn't realize it was that dramatic
for him.
Bucky, a guy who has probably not done an out-and-out sprint in, I don't know, I'll go out on a limb and say 25 to 30 years, is talking about turning and running if you see a grizzly bear and outrunning the grizzly bear, which can reach speeds of up to 35 miles per hour. And by the way, the grizzly bear can climb any tree that you're going to try and climb up into also.
You realize the bear could probably pin down the person Bucky throws down and still be able to swipe at Bucky before he gets too far away.
Well, I told Bucky his best chance might actually be to try and run, because grizzly bears do have senses of humor. Maybe the grizzly bear just falls over laughing at what it looks like when Bucky tries to go into a full sprint.
That would be funny. That would be very good. People are texting us here on the Specs text line, 337-3776. Couple different things. Someone does have a question for us to ask Joe Cook. We'll get to that. But multiple Jackie Vinson mentions, Trey. Apparently, she sang the national anthem for the Austin FC game and played a sold-out show at Antone Saturday.
She is as good as advertised. I saw her up close and personal, having no opinion of her, opening up for Gary Clark at Stubbs, and she tore it up. And she just has this stage presence, this magnetism on the stage. She's not only a badass guitarist, but she always has this smile on her face as she's playing. And it's just, it's something that magnetizing is a good word for it. I highly recommend, if you have the opportunity to see her live and in person, please do so.
That's like the Buddy Guy effect for me. One of the reasons I love Buddy is his presence on stage is so happy.
Yep.
Like, it always felt like he was so happy doing what he was doing. Shout out to Jackie Vinson today. And she was a part of that big show at Q2. The first Austin FC home game ends up in a 0-0 tie. Still waiting for that first home goal for the Austin FC. We'll keep you up to date on the elimination game with Stanford and Arizona. Let's go to the Vaqueros Cafe Cantina hotline right now and talk to Joe Cook of Inside Texas. We do it each and every Monday. Joe, how are you?
Doing great, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Man, thanks as always for the time. By the way, also, somebody had texted us about the game itself with Texas and Tennessee. I've double-checked with Craig. The answer is Texas will be the home team tomorrow. They flipped for it. So once you get into these tournament situations, they just do a straight flip. Texas won the toss. They get the home team for tomorrow. So, Joe, obviously Longhorn fans wish it was a 6 o'clock game tomorrow, but it's not. Give me your thoughts on this Mississippi State game. Did some of the issues that the Longhorns have had this year come back to haunt them, in your opinion, or did they just face a badass named Will Bednar that nobody was going to hit?
I think they may have run into the buzzsaw last night. I think Texas was trying to make contact. I didn't think their approach was terrible, but it obviously was not the right approach. David Pierce talked about how Bednar, he's not a fireballer. He's thrown in the low 90s, but he puts enough backspin on his pitches to where it plays up, and it kind of feels like it's mid to high 90s instead of low 90s. So whatever it was, Texas was not able to adjust. And I think a lot of people are very upset, at least even on Inside Texas. They're very upset with the coaching staff because, why didn't the approach change? Well, I mean, I've made this point to y'all plenty of times. There's a five-time All-Star over there, and that guy's not swinging the bat. He's telling the guys what they need to do, what they try to adjust with. But, it's up to the players to swing the bat. And also, you have to just be able to credit Bednar and Sims to, go onto the biggest stage and just have a heck of a performance like they did. Texas tried to, as Trey, you and I were talking about, they've been resilient all year, and they showed a little bit of that resiliency in the ninth. You saw a good at-bat from Antico. You saw a pretty poor call against Mitchell Bailey and then good at-bats from, you know, Cam Williams and Ivan Melendez. So I don't think it's all, you know, all going to be lost, but they're in a hole now, and they're going to be facing another pretty solid team in Tennessee and to try and get out of that hole.
Joe, I really did think that they were going to come back and at least tie the game in the bottom of the ninth, if not win it outright, considering that there were runners on first and third for the final batter of the game. Unfortunately, they did not get it done, though. Man, Hodo was burning down the line to try and beat out that throw as well. But with that said, the attention now does turn to Tennessee. And when you ask somebody who understands and follows college baseball like you or Dustin McComas does, the two teams that kept coming up with regards to Texas' toughest competition on this side of the bracket were Mississippi State and Tennessee. So what are the challenges that the Volunteers will pose to Texas tomorrow afternoon?
They're a confident team. They don't come up from a, you know, super strong baseball tradition program like Texas. I think the last time the Volunteers were in Omaha was in 2005. So it's been a while, but they're confident. They gave Arkansas their best shot, you know, time after time. They took on a LSU team who made the super regional, trying to win one for Palmieri, and basically just shut them down. So it's a confident team. I do believe that Tennessee has the benefit of playing in a, you know, pretty a hitter's park, to say the least. Not very tall fences out in right field. I think even one's like 322 down the line. So they've been a good hitting team in a hitter's park. I remember if you saw this NCAA tournament, they've had some of the most home run numbers in history, and I think a big part of that is because the Volunteers hosted a regional and a super regional and just slammed home runs. So that's going to be tough for them in the TD Ameritrade Park, just because that is not a park that's conducive to power hitting, despite Antico getting one yesterday. But they can still put the ball in the gap. Texas is going to have to play good defense in the outfield, and you're going to have to get another efficient outing from Tristan Stevens in order to hope that you can hand it off to you know, maybe Pete Hansen. I don't know who the third game would be if they make it there, considering Hansen was just used. But they're going to need, you know, another outing like they got from Ty Madden last night.
Talking with Joe Cook of Inside Texas. Check out InsideTexas.com. He's at JosephCook89 on Twitter if you're not following along and you're a Texas fan. Definitely add him to your follows list. So, Joe, one specific, I know you were talking about things that Longhorn fans are talking about online and on the message board, maybe going after the coaching staff. One thing I've heard discussed is the Melendez at bat is amazing in the ninth. It's one of the reasons. There was one questionable pitch in there that went Texas's way. That's where I thought maybe the baseball gods were going to turn things. But what about the idea of him needing to try to leg that out into a double? I didn't see it that way, but I know some Texas fans did. You're a big baseball, you know, guy yourself. How did you see that play? Were you thinking he should be standing on second or not?
It's really tough for me to think that. I mean, Ivan Melendez moves well for his size, but do you really want to make the final out of an elimination game, you know, going for it at, or not an elimination game, but still, do you want to make the final out of a College World Series game at second base on the base path? I don't think that's a risk that I would have been comfortable with him taking. Now, if it was Dylan Campbell the whole time out of the box, then yeah, I think that, you know, it's not a bad idea to go for two there. But I just think that the risk way, way outweighs the reward in that situation. And, you know, Mississippi State's a good team. They've got quality outfield. They've got good players. They probably would be able to make that play. And do you really want probably your eighth or ninth fastest guy in your lineup for being the one that ends the game for you? I just didn't like that idea.
Yeah. I agree with you. And the fact, and Trey brought this point up during the break, the fact that he was pinch run for immediately once he was on base also tells you a little bit. I'm not asking Zubia and Melendez to necessarily leg those plays out, but I know some fans were. So I just wanted to make sure we clarify that one. You mentioned the pitching thing briefly. Now that we know the schedule Texas would have to run through here, that it's a Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. So in your mind, is this going to be Tristan Stevens tomorrow? You hope he's the good Tristan Stevens and you get through that. And then, based on the rest days, go back to Hansen, even though you used him? Is that what you think Pierce will do?
I think so. I think at this point in the year, you got to use your best players, especially when you're in this elimination scenario. And luckily, he did not, you know, he was not overtaxed last night. I think, what, just two innings, and looked pretty good doing it, too. So, and he's bounced back before. There have been times when he pitched, I think, on a weekend day and then would come back and get a Tuesday start. So it's not too out of the norm for him. He hasn't had the Sunday to Tuesday turnaround very often since he's been the Sunday starter for about 2 months now. But I think you got to do that just because, you know, Tristan Stevens is going to be who he is. And then you hope that Pete Hansen is who he is. And then at that point, you hope that Kobe Kubicek can step up in Omaha and that you're still playing and have the opportunity to give him the ball. Maybe at a certain point you go to tie on shorter rest, but I don't think that's worth the risk, especially when you can just rely on a pretty stout bullpen if you need to do that as well. So I think after Tristan, they should go with Pete Hansen, and then you know, I don't know who it would be, but I guess it'd be Kobe Kubicek based off what we've seen this year. And hey, if that's your number four, despite the struggles he's had, that's a good place to be, especially in Omaha. So I guess one of the lone bright spots out of last night is, you know, Ty Madden was Ty Madden, pitched well, and then Pete Hansen delivered a quick outing. So the rest of the bullpen, Tanner Witt, Cole Quintanilla, Aaron Nixon, all those guys are still ready to go.
Texas and Tennessee tomorrow at 1. Lots and lots of orange, and one group will go home, 2 in barbecue. By the way, Stanford and Arizona are underway, and one of those two teams is about to head home at 0-2 as well. We'll keep you up to date on that. Talking with Joe Cook of Inside Texas. All right, Joe, let's talk a little football. Now, every single one of them can't be the grandson of a famous Manning, but there's still some big names that have been making visits. Anything Texas fans need to know about this past weekend? Obviously, they can go to InsideTexas.com and check out all the specifics, but anything that's jumping out to you after this past weekend?
Give you a little bit of info on a commit and a former commit. One of the players who made their way to Austin from California was 2022 quarterback Malik Murphy. He's a guy who's about as locked into Texas as you can be. He's one of the main vocal recruiters for the class, even out from the LA area. This was his, you know, he's been in Austin before and even made his way into the stadium before that June 1st when they left the doors open. But, you know, he was finally able to official visit, meet the coaches, meet all the people that he had committed to and solidified his recruitment there. The other uncommitted prospect was one of his top wide receiver targets, and that's Evan Stewart, you know, a former Texas commit, probably the best wide receiver in the state, a guy that Texas really needs to start landing if they want to start being competitive on the national scene like, you know, we've seen in years past. This is a guy who is really appealed to by the name, image, and likeness sell that Texas offers. They have that leverage program as part of Forever Texas, and Evan Stewart has a gigantic social media following, not just because of football, but just because of he crafted it, developed it on, I think, TikTok, Instagram, Twitter. And he's a guy who could take advantage of those types of, abilities to market yourself at a program like Texas. So that sell really resonated with him. They had a bunch of targets in this weekend, including Jade Blue, the running back commit, and, a few, I think Kelvin Banks, a tackle. We've got all that information over on Inside Texas and our Inside Scoop. But Evan Stewart, I think that's who we led off with today in the scoop, and it's because, you know, he's that top wide receiver, and Texas made a good impression on him, but they're fighting with the big boys for his recruitment now. So it's time to see, A, if he makes it back to campus, and B, you know, what other schools are able to impress upon him.
Joe, you just mentioned something that always fascinates me about recruiting. When you mentioned Malik Murphy, this is a guy that, you know, has already verbaled to Texas, and he is, and you mentioned that he makes a trip. So when it comes to quarterbacks, there can be a certain, you know, Pied Piper vibe to it. But I think it's something maybe fans don't always think about, that you may have made a visit, not to solidify your situation, yes, but how much do these guys also make during those visits start to build relationships with these other players and do recruiting themselves?
Oh, that's a huge part of it. That's why it's big to have him on the official visit weekend, where you're also recruiting, you know, like I said, the top wide receiver, the top offensive lineman, other wide receivers, especially CJ Williams from out in California. it's crucial to have him because, yeah, I think you put it the exact right way. You got to have a sort of Pied Piper who people can coalesce around. And also not just, you know, a quarterback being there. They had Armani Winfield as well. So, you know, if you're trying to build a class and make it difficult for these kids who now have these newfound visit opportunities to say, you know, no to their original commitment, it's good. It's just good psychology to get them together, build them up as their own little family, and, you know, make them believe that Texas is the place for them along with other people. So, it's team building. It is exactly what it sounds like. And having a prominent guy like Malik Murphy, who carries a pretty lofty top 100 ranking and is a quality quarterback out on the West Coast, it definitely helps in that regard to, you know, keep guys in the boat when they're there and, you know, maybe encourage them to jump in if they aren't committed.
Sounds like a good news piece of information there. If you're a Texas fan, that's Joe Cook. If you're a Texas fan, maybe want to check out InsideTexas.com for all the latest on that. And the Longhorns trying to get another UT out of Omaha and continue their run tomorrow if they can beat Tennessee. At Joseph Cook 89 on Twitter if you want to give him a follow as well. Joe, we always appreciate it. Hopefully there's some winning baseball to still talk about next week. Enjoy the games, and we'll talk to you then.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Joe.
Good stuff there and interesting comments. I've always been fascinated by that power. You've got a certain amount of power if you're a quarterback recruit anyway, but that notion that you know where you want to go and you're not just on the phone, Trey. You're not just on the phone and you're not just on social media now, but you're on campus. And there's a badass wide receiver or there's a badass running back. With all due respect to the badass tackle or linebacker that might make that trip, there's got to be something about Malik Murphy being that guy. That you're talking to a guy you're going to snap the ball to. This could be your quarterback moving forward if you make the choice to come to Texas. That's an interesting dynamic of it. That had to be good news for Sark to not only have his guy like that, but to have him want to come in, make the trip, and talk to all these other guys.
Yeah, and there was at least one other committed receiver that was on campus this weekend, Armani Winfield. So hopefully they got to hit the practice field and actually throw the football around a little bit.
Very cool. Get a sense for the heat.
Yeah, yeah.
How hot it can get around
that
here.
That too.
You don't want to lie to people about that, right? You don't want to lie, but you know what else you might tell them? Did anybody catch, as the game went on at Q2 on Saturday night, which team was subbing more and which team wasn't? Because it was San Jose that was subbing.
Oh, really?
They had subbed, I think, four times when Austin had made their first sub.
Mm.
So, you know, it's the conditioning part of it. That's part of what you sell when you're a football player in the state of Texas. We're going to drag people to our place. We're going to wear them out.
And it had actually cooled off a little bit by Saturday night versus where it was in this town earlier in the week.
That is true. A lot of great texts coming in during that conversation. One of the fans was wanting to ask that question about Ivan Melendez. Thanked us for asking that question. Said that ultimately they agreed with me. Why force the double and get out in that situation? That was kind of what I was looking at. Somebody else, one of our listeners, Ricardo from Galveston, says, I was sitting club level above the Longhorn dugout. Melendez would have been toast at second. I was yelling, no, no, no.
It looked like in that wide shot that it would have been a struggle for him to get to second base if it was even a decent throw coming from left field.
Also, just a comment from a baseball fan after that game. It says, Mississippi State's catcher isn't getting enough credit for framing close pitches and getting Bednar some strike calls. I would totally agree with that.
He was bringing the ball back into the zone a lot, especially on those low strikes, too.
And that's the whole beauty. That's the thing about this pitch framing thing. Dude, I don't need you to be perfect. Throw it there.
Yep.
And if I can get him to believe it's there instead of there, we can do that all night.
Mm-hmm.
If I can get him there once, and that caller's absolutely, or listener's absolutely right. And the tough part, Trey, for Texas, both sides. Top and bottom of the zone, he was doing it.
Mm-hmm.
He was framing down perfectly, and especially the stuff low. He was taking those things that were low and whoop, pulling it right back up.
Yes, he was.
Just a little bit. Mississippi State got the win. They'll be in the winner's bracket game tomorrow. Texas in the loser's bracket game with Tennessee, and we'll have it for you at 1 o'clock tomorrow right here on the Horn. All right, coming up, yes, we'll get back to that Supreme Court decision. 9 8-0 vote against the NCAA today. I'll also continue to talk about Texas baseball and their now different trip through the College World Series. They got to come out of the loser side of it. But up next, let's talk NBA. So you say you don't want dynasties. You say you want new blood. Well, what about now? This is The Horn.
Shirts and Skins.
Oh, man.
After this song, he'll have a lot of cleaning up to do.
Wow! That's well done. Who's this?
Don't be influenced. Well, Chad, when you come up with a new song every day of the pandemic, a few of them are bound to hit.
Oh, no.
And this may be one of Weezer's best efforts.
Yeah.
Since the last 15 months.
Still doesn't sound like Weezer, but sure, whatever.
Took us all back to the woodshed. This is Tell Me What You Want.
Tell me what you want, man.
From something called Wave Break. I don't know if that's a video game or a movie or what, but Wave Break is where this song is found.
I am telling you, that lead singer, golly, there's so much talent in that voice. He can do anything with it. It's crazy. Sometimes to his detriment, by the way. Sometimes he sounds not like himself.
True.
But that's a really great start to a song.
I think that did sound like him, though.
You think that sounds like Weezer?
I think it sounded enough like Rivers.
Dude, that's a good song. I liked everything about that.
Mm-hmm.
Just the everything about that song. New Weezer out there you might want to check out. Very cool. All right, a lot of stuff on the table today. By the way, we have made a choice for the Thursday movie review this week. Trey will choose. He's had this one in his back pocket for a while now. It's one he digs. I recorded it on my DVR literally during the pandemic, like last May, just in case, because he kept talking about it. So this week is the week for Seven Psychopaths from 2012.
This is the last movie that I would watch on repeat. I've had probably 10 movies like this in my life that I watched on repeat pretty much every night going to bed for about a 2 to 3 month span. And there are just so many parts that crack me up. The acting's great. It's a phenomenal cast. You'll find out a little bit more about that. I actually spoiled that one for you. But people will find out on Thursday if they haven't seen this. I highly recommend that if you are normally listening to this show Thursdays at 1 and you want to know what we're talking about, because I don't know how popular this movie is. I just know that I love it. Check out Seven Psychopaths. I don't think you'll be disappointed, but if you are, hey, you can still listen to us talk about it.
That's true. You can get mad at us. You can get mad at Trey for suggesting the movie. Just like a lot of people may have got mad at me last week for Running Scared. Actually, it was just Trey that got mad at me for Running Scared. A lot of the people were with me because they saw it when they were 10 as well.
I didn't get mad at you. I totally understood the novelty, but unfortunately, I could not get all the way in watching it for the first time. As a 43-year-old in 2021, it just work for me.
That is fair. By the way, on the movie front, the girls and I went and saw Cruella. If you're into this type of movie, it much like the Maleficent idea with Angelina Jolie.
What?
They made a real-life Maleficent movie.
What is
with
that?
Angelina Jolie, the evil queen from Sleeping Beauty.
Oh, okay.
They made a movie about her backstory.
That's right.
And she was awesome. And the two movies were really well received. I kind of had that same vibe in this movie. Emma Stone is great.
She looks compelling.
And if it's possible, Emma Thompson might be better in this movie.
Oh, okay.
There's some heavy hitters there and some other actors you will enjoy. So I liked it. A little bit long, a little over 2 hours, but everything is nowadays. But Cruella was good. And the music, Trey. Oh, my God. The soundtrack of Cruella is awesome.
1 to 10 scale, what are you giving this one?
The soundtrack?
The movie.
Oh, the movie. For what it does, I'll creep it into the low A scoring.
Oh, okay.
Like a 9.091.
Wow, all right.
But without really going, digging through it, I thought it was good.
More importantly, did Monkey like it?
She did. She really dug it.
Good.
Really dug it, man. Music was great. Some good stuff that you knew anyway and the original versions, but also some really cool covers in there. If you're into like 60s and 70s music, that seems to be where it ends up kind of focusing. So anyway, good stuff there. And also, Trey, the question is it good stuff for NBA fans? Because I got a feeling like NBA fans are about to have to confront their own hypocrisy. Because fans love to say, I'm just tired of the same teams winning a title. I'm so tired of the Lakers. I'm so tired of LeBron. I'm tired of the Warriors. I don't want to see that. I want to see fresh meat. You do? Well, guess what I got for you? I got four teams for you, and two of them have never even won the championship. Like, ever. Phoenix has never won. They've been to the finals twice, 76 and 93, put up a fight both times, and lost. The Clippers have never even been to the conference finals.
Wow.
So they've never even been to the finals. The other two, the Bucks, are the ones that last won a title in 71.
Lou Alcindor-led Bucks.
Exactly. 50 years ago, before Lou Alcindor decided to change his religion and his name. They made the finals again in 74, but it's the last time they've been back. The Hawks were last in the finals in 61, won it in 58, but they weren't even in Atlanta in either of those years. So I asked,
where were they?
St. Louis.
Okay.
So I ask you, basketball fans, is this what you've been wanting? It's not like you don't have some names mixed in. The problem, Trey, is that the bubble plus the schedule has resulted in key guys being out, has resulted in a weird timeline with Chris Paul, has resulted in we just don't know about Kawhi Leonard, and then you've watched all these big guys get hurt throughout the league, and it's kind of what produces this foursome. But you've got the Freak, you've got Trae Young and his incredible performances, you've got Chris Paul if he's healthy, but Devin Booker was a beast the other night, going up 1-0 against the Clippers. He was awesome. He had a 40-point triple-double. Only Charles Barkley has done that with the Suns in the playoffs. And then, of course, you've got the Clippers. So, are you peeking in? Does this interest you? Does this kind of parity and lack of dynasty matter to you?
The Western Conference Finals are a little bit more intriguing for me just because I've heard a lot of good things about Phoenix. It sounds like Booker is legit. When they get Chris Paul back, it just seems like a fun team to watch play. I have very little interest in the Clippers, though, and that's even with Kawhi Leonard in there. The Clippers are just they're just kind of a blah team for me. Just thinking about that roster, Paul George being the leader now, maybe he can continue to put that team on his shoulders like he was in finishing off the previous round, but I'm probably rooting for Phoenix in that one. I don't know how much I'll pay attention. And Hawks and Milwaukee, that just doesn't do it for me. I'm sorry. And I think a lot of people are going to be in that boat to expect to see one of the lowest rated NBA finals in a long, long time, regardless of which of these four teams end up getting there.
Like when I was a kid, if you tell me if it's Atlanta-Milwaukee in the Eastern Conference Finals, it would have been Dominique Wilkins against Sidney Moncrief.
Oh, I love Dominique back in the day.
I would have enjoyed that, right? Tree Rawlings, I think, played for both teams. And I mean, there's certain things that I would have gotten into, but these two teams have never felt like conference finals teams.
Well, I actually like watching Trae Young play a lot, too, and I know that's a weird thing to hear a Longhorn fans say, but I just like his court vision. Like, obviously, his shooting gets a ton of attention. He has really good court vision, and that's been the case going back to his time with the Sooners, where he just sees these passing lanes and finds ways to get his teammates the ball with really nice looks, whether it's inside or outside. I respect that part of his game, but while I do like Clint Capella, and apparently the white kid had a big game yesterday.
Kid from Maryland?
The
My
clincher.
God! He was awesome.
I'm just indifferent on the Eastern Conference Finals.
So with Milwaukee, I know it's not fashionable to root for a villain, and I know that the NBA world has decided Kevin Durant's a villain, but if deserves mattered, Trey, the Nets would have won that thing just because of him. The performance was incredible. 48 points, I think it was, in that Game 7. That's the last time. The last time a playoff Game 7 went overtime was Mavs Spurs in 06. Everybody remember that series and a certain foul call in Game 7? Let's not revisit that if you're a Mavs fan. Spurs fans, you'll want to revisit. But Milwaukee, it felt like they were trying to give Brooklyn the game. Little mistakes. You're up two and you let the shot clock run out. Brooke Lopez, what are you doing? Just clunky stuff at the end. And then Kevin Durant, the game of a half an inch. When he let that shot go, I thought it was a two. As soon as he let it go, I thought, oh, he's really close. And you immediately saw the official go with a two. And the look on his face, the crowd exploded, but Durant knew it. He thought, oh, my God, I know I'm at home, and I know we're normally you're going to get an advantage in overtime, but I had it.
He was just out of gas. He used the last little bit there to hit that shot, and unfortunately, it wasn't meant to be, but it was no fault of Kevin Durant's. James Harden tried to give it a go. He was clearly not himself. I mean, he was totally out of his flow shooting. Even though he was playing heavy minutes, he was not the James Harden that they had traded for.
And we talked about that team. I told you about they were my pick if all three stayed healthy. Did you hear how long the three of them played together in that series?
How long?
43 seconds.
Wow.
That's it. If they're all healthy, I think they beat everybody.
First game of the series.
And, yeah, it was 43 seconds is all they got. And it just, yeah, it wasn't quite enough. They're not deep to start with. They're not super deep. When you build a super team, you can't be super deep. They had, I think in game seven, no bench points. Like none? That's a number where it's like, okay, I know he's Durant, but you can't ask him to do so much. But he didn't quite have enough. Somehow Milwaukee gets in, and because they had their other guys step up too. I mentioned it before I went off on the week's vacation that Chris Stapleton really had to be good. If his album wasn't – no, but Chris Middleton had to play well, and he did. He stepped up, had some big performances. He played pretty well. Drew Holiday too. Holiday hit. Now, neither of them had a fantastic game.
I was about to say, Drew Holiday took entirely too many shots.
But it was ugly enough that when they needed it, they hit a couple of big moments. I still think Milwaukee's way too clunky to win it all.
Agreed.
Way too clunky.
And I think that's why we could see the Hawks make it to the finals.
I do too. That team can get real pretty at times. They got no problem in the half court. They got no problem going up and down the floor. They wore Philly out. They just exhausted that team up and down the floor. Philly's more designed for a half court situation because you got to move everything around Embiid. Not Atlanta. Atlanta's going up and down. And as long as Clint Capella can kind of cause a problem for Giannis, they just can't let him get to the basket that much. I was disappointed in Brooklyn's defense. I know they didn't have everybody. They let Milwaukee do everything they wanted to. 26-4 in fast break points in one of those games.
Mm-hmm.
That's pathetic. That's what ultimately the injuries plus Brooklyn just couldn't find stops is probably why they're done. So it's four teams that have all this opportunity, but there's going to be a weird little asterisk feel champion this year. One of our listeners says they're loving these NBA playoffs. They said it's the best they've seen in a while. So
hey, good for them.
Some dig it.
To each their own. Yep. And how about the matchup, the defensive matchup? Clint Capella has had to roll with these last two series now. Joel Embiid to Giannis.
Mm-hmm.
You like to think that you're going to catch a bit of a break after you're done defending Joel Embiid for seven games. But no, get ready because it actually gets a bit tougher.
It's going to be an interesting series to watch, too. How much does we know who the stars are going to be in the series, but does a Bogdanovich get hot, or is Chris Middleton more of the guy that gets hot? Those secondary players will be really key. Just ask Ben Simmons. Sometimes those secondary guys are really important. Need to shoot in the fourth quarter, too. So the NBA continues tomorrow. Everything's off tonight. Tomorrow, game two of that series with the Clippers and Phoenix. Wednesday is game one of the Eastern Conference with Atlanta and Milwaukee. And if you care, that's Marv Albert's last ride with the Eastern Conference Finals. Last games he's doing before he retires. So you may want to check it out on TNT. Up next, where are we at in society? Trey has got some advice for you if you encounter a grizzly bear. I'm listening. This is The Horn.
Shirts and Skins.
Trey's grabbing some new music from last week for you today. What do you got, Trey?
Another local band, Chad. This is White Denim, Crystal Bullets.
Is this the one with the Rangers connection?
Yes. James Petrolli, Gino Petrolli's kid.
That makes me feel old but cool at the same time. Like the fact that Gino Petrali's got a kid that's in a band.
Well, his kid is probably close to our age, too.
Yeah, don't say that out loud. We don't need to go that far.
Wasn't Gino playing for the Rangers in like the late 80s and early 90s?
That would be my guess, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, no, I was a kid when he was playing.
Yeah.
Like, I was in my teens, not yet in high school when Gino Petrali was playing, if I'm not mistaken. That is crazy. So, some new white denim out there if you want to check it out. We've got more to check out at 2 o'clock. Got to get back into this Supreme Court story. Did you hear? A 9-0 vote. Both sides would love to have an issue where they could get a 9-0 vote. Although some of our listeners who know more politics than we do are saying there's been a lot of 9-0 votes right now. Maybe the Supreme Court's just going through their summer easy period where they just do a bunch of easy stuff. Yeah, we should be able to eat cake. Yeah, 9-0, let's do it. But they vote 9-0 that the NCAA's amateurism idea is violates antitrust laws, and it wouldn't work in any other company in America or any other business in America without getting some serious pushback. So they voted 9-0 on that today. We'll get back into that at 2. Right now, though, Trey's going to help us with society, and in this case, maybe some outdoorsy part of society. Here we go.
Where are we at in society today?
Say that today's Where We At in Society is sponsored by my buddy Jake with SLP Lawn Care. They do a great job on my lawn every couple weeks. They'd be happy to help you out as well. Get on the schedule. Go to slplawncare.com to find out everything that they can do for you. Chad, when we were gone last week, I presented a story to one Bucky Godbolt, who co-hosted with me a couple of different times, from Rutgers University.
Mm-hmm.
Rutgers has had a bear problem, apparently, over the last month or so, requiring officials at Rutgers to offer advice to its students on what to do if you encounter one of these brown bears, a.k.a. grizzly bears. And
is that the same thing? Brown and grizzly bears are the same thing?
Brown bears and... Or, yes.
They have grizzly bears in New Jersey?
Apparently so. I guess it's close to Appalachia.
Oh, I see. Okay. All right. I'm sorry.
So, yes. Anyhow, the advice included not trying to run from the bear, which Bucky Godbolt said, "Are you freaking kidding me? I am sprinting from that bear." When we took that cruise to Alaska a few years ago, we actually had a park ranger tell us what to do if you encounter a brown bear, and you're supposed to try and run away from it. This
really?
Guy was telling a boat full of people.
Run straight away,
straight
run
away.
Zigzags.
At one point during the conversation, Bucky said that if his wife Joyce is with him, he might be throwing her in front of the bear.
Oh, come on.
And he was going to try and run away, which is funny because you know that there's zero chance, if you've ever watched Bucky walk in the last 10 years, that he's not running anywhere. He's going to be fastly limping someplace, if anything. But two, that's just terrible advice that he got from that park ranger. Maybe he's misremembering it and then spreading the misinformation all over the Austin airwaves. Well, I bring all of this up. Well, I guess I should ask you first. What do you do if you and your family encounter a brown bear? Let's say you were at Lake Conroe this last week.
Right.
And you were in the woods and a brown bear is close by. What do you do?
If I felt like anybody in my group was in true danger, I would engage the bear.
you would Leo and Revenant the bear.
Yeah.
Also, good for you.
If it was with the group I was with this time, my brother-in-law is significantly taller and bigger than me, more of a menacing kind of presence. The two of us would try to figure out a way to distract the bear while everybody gets away. And we might have gotten severely hurt, but I couldn't run. I couldn't run if it was my family. If it's just me, oh, I'd be gone. Just me, I'm tearing out as fast
as
possible.
So you are trying to run. You're trying to outrun this creature that can go 35 miles per hour and climb whatever it is you think you can climb to escape him.
I'd be that stupid, yes, if it was just me.
Well, the National Park Service is offering up bear safety tips because a lot of people are choosing to get back out in nature this summer as we all try and resume normalcy, which does include taking vacations to remote locations.
Mm-hmm.
For instance, my family. Next month, we are going to Breckenridge, Colorado.
Oh, that's right.
Pretty sure there are bears in the wilderness of the Rocky Mountains.
They got varmints up there, yep.
Yes, they do. So their advice, which was shared as part of a public safety announcement on Sunday, includes some obvious things and some not so obvious things. So let's get to the list here. If a bear clacks its teeth, sticks out its lips, huffs, woofs, or slaps the ground with its paws, it is warning you that you are too close and making it nervous. the bear's nervous? Heed this warning and slowly back away.
If it's okay, so if its lips are doing that quiver thing, that means it's nervous, not like ferociously crazy.
Correct.
Oh,
backing away slowly may seem like simple advice to follow, but there are quite a few things to avoid when it comes to bear safety.
Wow. Now, that is one thing I wish I could tell you I would do. Again, if it was just me, instead of just immediately run, I would hope that, number one, I would want to keep the bear in my sight. So I'm hoping I would be able to just back up slowly. And then if the bear rushes me, that's one thing. But like until it does, just maybe get out of there. But I don't know if I could actually do that.
Well, I'm glad you're mentioning this, Chad, because the list of things that you should never do whenever encountering a brown bear is play dead, which surprised me a little bit. I thought playing dead might be an okay move there.
That's what I've heard, yeah.
Run, shout, or make any sudden movements. The National Park Service also said you should never push a friend down to save yourself.
Well, yeah, that's not really their place.
Quote, do not run up and push the bear, and do not push a slower friend down. Even if you feel the friendship has run its course. Well done by park rangers
that
there.
That is funny. Okay, so this is all about the brown slash grizzly bear situation.
Yeah. Yeah, you can actually make noise with black bears. Black bears get spooked by you, but the brown bears, and they say running away can trigger a bear to chase you, and you're not going to be faster.
Right.
They can chase elk and other animals on a daily basis.
Wow.
Climbing a tree, also not a good option because bears can climb. They'll make sure they'll get what they want, even if it's in a tree.
Yeah.
Quote, running to a tree or frantically climbing a tree may provoke a bear to chase you. If the friend you pushed down somehow made it up a tree and is now extending you a hand, there's a good chance you're not getting up that tree. Karma's a bear.
All right, somebody texted us, Trey, with some bear advice that they've heard, which is this. If it's black, fight back. If it's brown, lay down. If it's white, good night.
Oh, yeah, polar bears are the most ferocious, but grizzlies are not far behind. The black bear, you can take the black bear. Oh, here we go. Here we freaking go. We go to the Vaqueros hotline now. I had a feeling he might be listening right now. Did you hear all of that, Bucky?
Right.
Your advice last week, you misremembering whatever that park ranger had told you when you were getting off the boat in Alaska. You should not run. You should not be pushing your wife down to try and save yourself. You need to operate very differently versus what you were telling people last week.
Chad, you really, this guy is over the top with his bear love and his bear theories, and he's getting bear theories from people that live in Jersey, first of all.
Right.
What's anybody in Jersey know about a bear? I'm getting it straight from the park ranger's mouth from Alaska. You know what I'm saying? Alaska. Chad, if you see a bear, you run like hell. Do not stand around. Do not play dead, because when that bear bites you, you're going to scream, and then he's going to go bear on you. And once he tears all the veins out of your neck and reaches in and pulls out your heart and your liver.
Oh, my
and
starts, gosh.
You're going to wish you, And once he has his way with you from all different angles, you're going to wish you ran from that bear. That's your best chance. Do not listen to what Trey is saying. Trey is trying to get millions of people killed out there. Doesn't know anything about bears.
Don't make eye contact and back away slowly. That's the advice. It's not play dead. It's not push your wife down so that you can escape. It's not to run. It's not to climb up a tree. It's don't make eye contact and back away slowly. You may actually survive that encounter with a grizzly bear.
Chad, when would you ever not unmake eye contact with it? Would you take your eyes off the bear at some given time?
Use your peripheral vision. We're not all John Stockton here, but we've got decent enough peripheral to see what the bear's doing. You don't make eye contact with the bear because the bear considers that to be a direct threat, and then it's coming after you.
I'm just looking. I wouldn't look at it necessarily in the eye. I'm going to look at the bear, though. How about if I do like basketball, Bucky? Can I look at his stomach because that'll tell me where he's going to go? Can I do that like I'm guarding him in hoops?
When you start running, you won't even see him out of the back of your, from the back of your head. When that bear wants to sexually encounter you, if you stay around, are you out of your mind? You're going to have an encounter with a bear?
Oh, my God.
If you have a unicycle, do you try and ride the unicycle away, or do you offer up the unicycle to the bear?
Yeah, here's another one. His theory: get on the unicycle. Don't ever go wooding with this guy, please. Get away from the woods with this. The guy from Chicago knows nothing about bears, and neither does the park ranger from Jersey.
Oh, that's funny.
Listen to me. I've been to Alaska.
There you go.
I've been to the last frontier. Bucky. I understand about bears.
Bucky knows. You heard it here first. Thanks, Buck.
And even eagles. I know what to do with an eagle in case of an eagle attack. I know all those things.
What do you do if an eagle attacks you?
You let him take your chihuahua.
Sing the national anthem, and the eagle will
sing the national anthem.
Later.
Thanks, Buck.
Later.
Oh, my God. Wait a minute. Did he just say that no one should go wooding with Trey Elling? Did he just invent a new word? I thought it was camping.
He said it so smoothly, I just assumed it was a word that I've never heard before.
Camping, hiking, outdoors, you know. Wooding? That's not a word, is it?
I don't know.
What are you going to do this weekend? I'm going to go wooding. Oh, really? You're going to go wooding? Well, if you see a bear, make eye contact.
Some ex-girlfriends that would also tell you to never try and go wooding with me either.
I think we just talked about it recently, but that video that got out of the woman, was it a woman or a young, like a teenager that was protecting the dogs from the black, and there was a black bear.
Yes. Was it a black bear?
I think it was a black bear.
Okay.
That was on top of the fence, and they rushed the bear and pushed the bear off the fence.
Yeah.
That was a beautiful, I wish I could tell you that I would do that. I would hope so, because you can sense at that point the bear does not have a good position.
According to your theory, you would have the guts in that scenario.
I hope so. Because I would protect dogs. I'd protect, hopefully, family members.
Wait a second. You're telling me y'all's dog name is Harley, correct?
No, Harley was the last one. Peekaboo is the current dog.
Okay, so if Peekaboo was in a proximity of a bear.
Yeah.
And Peekaboo's not getting away. Peekaboo just keeps barking. And you have the option of staying inside, free and clear of the bear, or going outside and trying to confront this bear to save Peekaboo. You're going outside?
Yeah, probably.
Wow.
I'm a dog lover. I'm not going to sit. I don't think I could. I couldn't deal with myself.
You love a dog more than your own life?
I don't know if it's that, but I just will try to do something. I would try to do something. Get out there, distract the animal, get it to pay attention to me and not her. I couldn't watch a bear destroy my dog. I just couldn't do it.
I think the closest that I'm coming with my dogs, Luke and Charlie, is cracking the door open. Luke, Charlie, come here.
Let's go.
Come here. Come here.
Now, to be fair.
You got a treat.
To be fair, if I started outside and my wife said, whoa, it's just a dog, then maybe I could be convinced.
Oh, you're doing that so you don't have to get divorced afterwards. That's why you're doing it.
Maybe I'd stop, but I feel like I might try to go do something.
Divorced and disowned by your child.
Hey, when she was out there with that rattlesnake, I got between her and the rattlesnake.
Okay, that's true.
I immediately went out there to make sure that the rattlesnake didn't go after her.
Rattlesnake, that is a certain level of danger.
That is true. It ain't
grizzly bear.
Not a bear. It's not. I've yet to encounter a grizzly bear in my backyard. When I do, I'll let you know what choice I make. All right, coming up, your 2 o'clock hour, it will start with the Supreme Court giving the NCAA a very clear answer. This is The Horn.